Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 21 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled The Speed of Light, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Clash of Two Kingdoms, Good versus Evil. Started off with three sides. We narrowed it down to two sides. And the subtitle is From Transformation to Engagement. And then this one is The Speed of Light, Part 3. So I'm trying to bring more emphasis to the speed of light and what happens with the speed of light as we are those that are carrying the light. So here we go. This was a picture that I like to use, and it speaks of, and I'll be speaking about it more today, about the two paths. And, you know, in previous teachings, last 6 weeks, I've went over the two paths and how they work and how they merge. The path on the left, I say, is the pathway of God. The one on the right, I say, is our own path or our own way. If you notice, the path of God is uphill, a little rough. You got to climb. The ways of your path is smooth sailing. No obstacles. So I say, come to Jesus, and it is a narrow way, but it is a hard climb. I'm not the type preacher and teacher that says, come to Jesus and live happily ever after. I say, come to Jesus and die forevermore. And so there's the introduction for this morning. I can't read that. It says the speed of light. Okay. Boy, I didn't do my colors right. The speed of light looked better on the laptop. Speed of light, and light in the Bible stands for spiritual illumination and truth, with the emphasis on spiritual illumination and truth. I'm going to make a distinction today between illumination and truth. Truth without illumination can bring death instead of life. Truth has to be directed by the Holy Spirit of God, which is illumination. I've said this before, I can be the best brain surgeon in the world. You can roll me in a patient. I can get the saw and the hammer out and get ready to crack your head open. And I can do that. And the nurse comes in and said, no, he needs a heart transplant. Well, I can apply the truths that I know at the wrong time and bring death instead of life. So just to carry the truth, it takes more than the truth. It takes truth and illumination of the Holy Spirit. You can bring correction to your children. We can bring correction to each other. You can take the gospel to someone, but it's through the illumination of the Holy Spirit that we do what we do. And it's the guidance and path. So I want to look at that today. It encompasses all that is pure, good, and holy, as opposed to the darkness of evil. And there's our two sides. God's word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So we see there that in Psalms that it's a lamp and it is a light, but it's for something. What's it for? It's for my path. And so as a prophetic people, I want us to understand that all of life is a walking of one of two paths. And we think that we can have one foot in one path and one foot in the other path. The only problem is there's about 2 miles between the two. Now, can you make the stretch? I don't think so. But we fool ourselves in thinking that we can have one foot on one path and one foot on the other. And there's what we call compromise, and that's where we are in the world scene today. And just follow me, because this is all about where we are. Now, the two words that I've used inside of the scriptures is conformed or transformed. It's Romans 12:2. You know the scripture. I've used it for several weeks now. Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? renewing of the mind. That's the reason we are sitting in here today, so that our minds are renewed, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not just the will of God, but the perfect will of God. So when we understand it's the perfect will of God, can the will of God be anything less than perfect? No. So God's saying, is it your will or His will? The thing about God's will is it's always perfect. That's without mistake. That God doesn't say uh-oh. We say uh-oh. We invented uh-oh. It's not in Hebrew. All right. So now here's the issue. Conformers are, now this is a little more information. Absence of light in the world can carry some truth, but without light. Now, here we go. Now, stick with me real quickly because I got to move fast. Conformers can carry some truth, but it doesn't have a light. With the social issues of today, like social justice or whatever, I'm not going to say there's not some truth there, but it doesn't have light. You see? So just because that you carry truth, if you carry it without light, it can bring some huge problems with it. So the absence of light in the world can carry some truth, but without light. And that's the conformers versus the transformers. They carry the light to the world, but they carry the truth with light. Now, we have all of these go-to words, social justice. Everybody wants justice today, right? If somebody's not saying this right, somebody's not saying that right, somebody was offended here, someone's offended there. But let me share something with you. Has anybody read anything about God's justice? The term justice doesn't mean fair. It means right. So when you read about God's justice, you get a second thought on all these other justices. That's the reason we want to go with God's justice that includes mercy. You get in Revelation chapter 18 and 19, God forgot His mercy for just a little bit. That one we do not want to be in. Now here we go. Here's the seduction. The seduction is some truth without light. So we see a lot of the things that we hear said by all of these different ideas that people have. And some you have to say, well, I kind of go along with that. That seems like that should be the right thing to say, or that should be the right way to think, or this should be the right thing. It's got a little tone or a little spin of sounds like, you know, feed the poor and do some things. Social justice or some type of justice. I mean, somebody's not been taken care of properly. I understand that, but the seduction is some truth without light. Now, here we go. It's in 2 Timothy 3:5. I'm going to give you several translations. King James says, having a form of godliness, but not denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here's another translation. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Here's another one, the Christian Standard Version. Holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. Now, to have a form of God, you got to understand something. You can be religious and not godly. Now, the power it's referring to here is, if you don't have we talk about the power of God all the time. The power of God, the introduction, Power of God 101, is that it has the power to transform your life. That's Power of God 101. So you've got to understand, there will be people, he says, in the last days that will look like they're carrying some truth, but they deny its power. And the power is, and that is to transform your life. Can you see how seductive or how subtle it can be? So having a form of godliness, this is what the scripture is speaking of, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, denying the power to be transformed. And so they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could that could make them godly. You see, that's what's rejected. So I'm going to have truth, But I'm not going to have power with it because we don't have godliness with it. Is what this verse is saying. So when you see somebody carrying what they say is the truth, but their life has not been transformed, from such turn away. But can you see how if they're carrying some truth that's almost seductive? Well, I can compromise with this person carrying this truth. I can compromise with that. You're right. I see some truth in it, and so. Since I can sympathize, I can be a sympathizer, and I can understand that. We need to allow everybody just to be who they are. It's a good thing for us, God doesn't make that statement. He's just going to be who he is, right? Can you imagine all of us running? God doesn't let me be who just as I am. He says, come just as you are, but you're not going to stay that way. Come on. He's been on that one. And he's got grace and mercy till we get it. He has. I mean, thankful. I'm very thankful for his grace and his mercy till we get it. But he wants us to get it. The will of God is that we get it. So when we start seeing, trying to unravel our brains from around what the enemy, what Satan himself is trying to shove down the church's throat, down God's people's throat, and God's people, I'm afraid, are tending to swallow the hook just because it has an association with some type of truth. You maybe even heard the truth in the Bible. But understand something that the Bible requires. If you believe in this power, for some reason, mankind thinks he can fix the world. I mean, let me put it in a big picture. And I put it in a big picture, everybody has to say, well, that's dumb, right? That's the Greek for stupid. How, really, the world, we got all this stuff going on out here like we're going to fix the world. If we do this, we're going to fix it. If we do that, we're going to fix it. We're under this smoking screen of we're going to fix the world versus y'all don't want to fix the world. Okay, you want to fix the world, but we want to fix the world this way. And the Bible tells us you can't fix the world this way if you haven't been transformed. That's just what it says. So when we're trying to get our understanding of what's happened, it puts pressure on me as an individual on how much have I been transformed. I'm in the transforming process, but I need to hurry. Does anybody feel like that? I think I need to hurry. So here's the scriptures. I want us to get our minds kind of wrapped around this stealth move of the enemy. Now, the place of compromise, reasoning without the will of God. That's the place of compromise today, is we all think we're pretty smart. So therefore, I can reason my way through this. And the age of enlightenment, which y'all are all pretty well versed in, we had the age of enlightenment, we had reasoning, we had all these things come on us. So now mankind thinks it's godly we're supposed to reason our way through things. Now, am I against reasoning? I'm not, with a transformed heart, but if it's your own personal reasoning, I'm not interested because I know God's not interested. I'm not interested in mine. I have a bucket load of it. But then there's something within me says, well, Alan, is that how you're transformed, the new man, or is that old man? And most of the time it's just old man because I have to go to the book to find out what the new man's supposed to think. Right? It just doesn't bubble up for some reason. It's just not a natural progression. So the place of compromise is reasoning without the will of God. So as a believer comes to the table, we got to know what the will of God is on this subject. And then, but if you use, the battle is between the reasoning of the world and the will of God. That's always the battle. And that's the reason I've been presenting unto you about the will of God. Now the people in the last days, and 2 Timothy says, the Apostle Paul describes the nature of people, which I've just been introducing you to, in the last days. He warns of people who are characterized as having a form of godliness, claim to carry truth, but denying its power. So we have all of these social issues and these social ideas. And the only reason, truthfully, we all know we might have to hang our heads is because usually the church has totally dropped the ball on some of these issues. If the church was carrying these issues, then it would have the will of God in mind as we are coupling it with truth. So now we've, because we somewhat have relinquished it, not everybody, some, then our world system and governments have picked it up. So he warns us of people who characterize as a form of godliness. Now, somebody can say they're an atheist, but yet they have an agenda. That's a religion. It's a religion. They'll die for it. It's religious to that. They worship their ideology and their reasoning and their thinking. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4, it says this, Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, Paul is given a shopping list, but in Scripture, and with especially with Paul, Paul always gives contrast. He always gives comparisons. So when you see Paul give a big list like this, read the list, but say, okay, now why did he say give us this huge list? It's because he's got something that he's, if this is a contrast to what he's wanting to say. Are you with me? So that's just the way Paul tends to write a lot. And so Paul, here it is. Paul uses contrast when emphasizing what he wants to highlight. Paul gives Timothy a long list of sinful behaviors and attitudes that are contrary to God's will. So if God's will is the issue in my life and on the planet, if we're saying that's the big issue, then Paul gives these sinful behaviors that are contrary to the will of God. So when Paul says that, then I've also got to go down that list and I'll say, is any of this in me, right? Because if this is also in me, then if you want to know what area in your life that needs a lot of improvement, it's that list that you're on the list that is a behavior, an attitude that is contrary to knowing the will of God, the perfect will of God, the Bible says. So if you're interested, and it's okay to fail, and we all do, and be forgiven. But as I say, the grace of God is like a net underneath a high wire. We're walking a high wire, and it's hard to walk, and it's straight and narrow. And when we fall off, we fall, and the grace of God catches us. And I think it's wonderful. But we're not to stay in the net. He says, all right, now get back up there, and let's walk it again. So we still got the same walk to walk. It shows that we get more than one try at it. Amen? Sometimes I'm afraid I hit the same spot in the net so much I might wear a hole in it. But let's pray that God's net doesn't do that. Now, in verse 5, he tells Timothy to avoid those who appear to carry truth but deny the power of godliness. So that's our key to issues. That's our key as believers, as following God. Our key to issues, does it have the characteristic of godliness? To those that are trying to sell it, it makes a difference. It makes a difference because we know that there is another agenda. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, 5, it says it like this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, he says, from such, he says, turn away. Those who have a form of godliness, now let's look at this, are those who make an outward display of carrying truth. what he's speaking to here is an outward form of godliness. You make an outward display of carrying truth. Now, I'm hoping you're catching with the Word of God. Truth is truth, but it's important who's carrying it. Some truth has light with it, and some doesn't. Now, they present themselves as godly, but it is all for show. That doesn't need any elaboration. There is no power behind their religion, as evident in the fact that their lives are unchanged. So when you take a truth without a changed life, truth, by the very fact that it's truth, always pushes change to the hearer. Can you hear me? Truth without light is used to preserve your way of sin. Now, I'm going to show it to you. They speak of God and live in sin, and they are fine with that arrangement. So that's the world we're living in today. You can call it whatever, give it all the names you want to give it. That's what the third side has to say about it. Now, since y'all are so excited, I'm going to move on. Paul's warning, sight but no insight. Now, here's Paul's warning, sight but no insight. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us. The Holy Spirit gives us insight. That's when you look into something, not at it, but you look in it. All of a sudden, you start having this wisdom and this understanding of what you're looking at. If you don't have insight, you just have the truth, then you look at it for face value to use it for your own agenda. All right. 2 Timothy, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. This is the next verse, just right after what we read. So we start getting an idea of these people who appear to be having truth, but they really have no light with the truth because their lives are not changed. And so when an ungodly person is carrying truth, for this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Ever learning, and here's where the verse is, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's what this is what you're looking at. This is what we are looking at. Now, not only is this agenda of truth without light, it is creeping into people everywhere. So if it has that type of movement and is creeping, it lets me know something. Well, this is an evil spirit. It's got life to it. It has movement. This is, the people that are carrying this thing, there's an evil spirit with that message. And if you'll notice, when people get that message, it's just like they've been converted. Just like you're converted. You're converted to the truth. You see, the Scripture speaks about in the last days, there'll be many false prophets, false teachers. We want to hold that in the church. No, you got to put it to the world. There's false teachers out here now. It's a bunch. False prophets, people carrying things. But it's done by evil spirits. And I'm going to prove that one to you. Paul makes a compromise to emphasize his point of what we are dealing with. So Paul, now watch him. This is the way Paul writes. This is the way he tries to convey truth. It's the way he conveys understanding through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul makes a comparison to emphasize his point of what we are dealing with. 2 Timothy. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses. Now I'm sure everybody knows these two characters, right? Well, I didn't think you did because I didn't either. James... But now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now here all of a sudden, Paul's going to go all the way back to the Torah to prove his point. When he goes back to the Torah, he says it's just like then that is now. All right? So let's follow his writing. And now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So the only thing I know about Jannes and Jambres is that they would resist truth. They had corrupt minds, and they were reprobate concerning the faith. So when you're wanting to compromise truth with the light of God, who you're dealing with, according to Paul, is Jannes and Jambres. Now, who is Jannes and Jambres? I'm glad you asked, as they say. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So what happened was, these two characters, if you think about it, you remember when Moses threw down the serpent, his rod, and there was some there and threw down their rods, he turned into say, they think that's Jannes and Jambres. According to the Jewish Talmud, it's written in all the historical documents of the Jewish writings that that's who that is. And I think I've maybe put it in my notes. Well, let me see if I did. If I don't, I'll mention it now. But it says in the end, they lose. But during the process till you get to the end, they show up, right? They're there. So we know it's a spirit that has a level of empowerment to do miracles, right? And of course, we are warned against that in these last days about false miracles coming. Paul compares them to wicked magicians. This is who Jannes and Jambres were. It was said that they were wicked magicians. Now, here we go. Who opposed Moses and warns that their folly and corrupt minds will be revealed to all eventually in verses 8 and 9. Now, who were Jannes and Jambres? Here we go. The names of these two men appear only once in the entire Bible, and it's in this reference, unless you go to the Jewish Talmud, and there's two other writings that was outside of the Talmud that they're referred to. We know about the magicians that opposed Moses with Pharaoh. So this is who they're saying these characters are. We know that they opposed the truth and were men of depraved minds. We know that much. Now, long-standing Jewish tradition says that Jannes and Jambres were the two chief magicians who withstood Moses and Aaron in Exodus 7. So it's interesting. What they did, these two characters were there with Moses, with Pharaoh. Then they left in the Exodus. Well, these two characters went with them, according to the Talmud. Isn't that amazing? They were there when they built the golden calf. You're like, well, how did they get into this stuff so quickly? It's because the enemy had planted evil spirits among them. Pretty good chance that's the case. I'm not saying the Talmud scripture, but historically, it's pretty good stuff. So, isn't that interesting? You're wondering, how did they get there so quick? Well, what happened was the Jews compromised with this thinking of these two that could perform miracles. And they persuade, Moses went up, he wasn't gone but a little bit, and they come back and they unbuilt a golden calf. You know, well, how did they do it? They had somebody leading. They were compromising using their reasoning with people that looked like had the truth. But their lives didn't prove it to be true. So we're going into a time and an age, the only way of I'm going to know if you're really a Christian or not is how you live your life. That's right. Only way you're going to know if I am is how I live my life. I'll give you a bad day if you'll give me a bad day, but we don't live there, okay? We can't live there because we're going into a day, we're in a day that we need to know who's who. So the price on being godly just went up. Are you with me? Okay. I'm just about out of time here. Let's go. Now, here we go. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Now, here's the point. The church and the truth of God is not dealing just with people with a different opinion. We're dealing with people that are being controlled by evil spirits and are working with secret arts. You say, well, Alan, they're going to take you off YouTube. Oh, my. Well, it's too late. I done said it. This is what we got to consider as believers. We have to consider. You don't have to agree with me, but you got to consider it. That could this be possible? I'm submitting to you, yes, it's very possible, and I think that's what we're looking at. Now, the name Jannes and Jambres appear in the Talmud as well. I did put this in there. The two magicians left Egypt with the Israelis after the first Passover, Exodus 12:38, and were later instrumental in promoting the worship of the golden calf of their made in Exodus 32. Is that not fascinating? Now, here's what we got to capture, though. Paul referred to these two characters the first time they'd ever been referred to in the Bible. He referred to them for a reason. It is for us to be able to look at these characters and see what we're really dealing with. That's all. Or like, wow, that's all. My point being is we're dealing with more than we think. The church has got to get back into raising the dead, healing the sick, and the deliverance of evil spirits. If that scares you, don't leave. Don't leave. If we don't have any special test to tell if any of us have one. I did go through a special test one time with Doug Mayberry, though. We were at this Carlos Anaconda where he delivers the devil out of people. Doug and I were on the... Somehow we got there. I'll not go through the story. Doug Mayberry got me into more messes of God than anybody in my entire life. I was totally there against my will. And we were altar ushers at the front. So Carlos Anaconda comes up the back, and he would call out for demons, and people just start throwing up and falling out everywhere, beating us. There was about 5,000 people in this huge church, and here me and Doug was right on the very end of this altar, and they had us hold hands because they said, now some of these demons will rush the altar. I'm like, okay, bring them on. Had no idea what I was. Well, the truth is, I didn't really believe anything was going to happen. That's what the truth was. I thought I was pretty safe. And so, anyway, we went through the whole thing. I'll not go through all the details. And then he does his call, and all of a sudden, here it comes. People falling in the choir. I mean, people in a choir. And so we had all of this demonic stuff. And so if they were real bad, they had these other carriers, they call them. They'd grab you behind both arms, and they'd carry you out the side door to some prayer rooms. And if you'd have been there, you'd have been glad they'd done it too. And so all this commotion was going on, and somehow Doug Mayberry, y'all don't know him, and I don't take him out in public, but Doug Mayberry was on the end, and I was there with Doug. So I'm trying to mentor Doug and rehabilitate him. Can't be done. So I was standing there. And so Doug, automatically, he's got to run everything. So he gets in direction mode, and he's guiding up. You know, he's doing all these signals and everything. I'm here on the end. He's got my hand. So he started doing this stuff. Well, a couple of the ushers thought that they were talking about that I needed carrying out. Because he was doing so. They come here and scoop me up. They drug my cowboy boots out that door. And I was hot. I said, Doug, stop them. Stop them. And Doug was like, he's like, no, not him, you know. Well, they done had me halfway down the hall before Doug come by me. And I come back, I went up there and I went up to the balcony and I sat in the corner and I sat down and shut up. But I had one thought. The thought I had was, well, I guess I passed the test. Because he called for demons and one didn't jump out of me. So I guess I'm good. So y'all were all right in here today unless I've picked up another one along the way. I don't know how I got in all that. Oh, I didn't want nobody leaving on my little introduction there, raising the dead, healing the sick, and casting out demons. I am very serious because we are living in a time we are wanting healing. But I'm telling you, there's more demonic stuff going around than's ever been going on before. So you can see why Paul says you got to be godly. Come on, come on. We got to live godly here. We got to get rid of some mess. We got to live right. We got to know the will of God. And then we got, if you want healing, there's a couple more things that go with it. But you can't throw them out. Come on. And one of them's deliverance, dealing with demons. That's right. So, only thing I got to do is tell you about it. Y'all got to do it now. All right. That was a little bit of a joke. All right. Paul's intention was to use the wickedness of Jannes and Jambres as an illustration of a widespread rejection of the truth and light in the last days. And so as I did a lot of research, and I'm like, oh my God, because I know how Paul writes, I know what kind of what he's doing. I'm like, Paul, you booger, you. You threw that one right in there to show us exactly what we were dealing with. I'm out of time. I do have a lot more on that, and we'll pick up here next week. But what I want us to consider today is to see where we are, the days that we are living in. Now, the good news is, in any time, the power of God's always greater than the power of the enemy. So it's not that God's going to come up deficit. The question is, where do you want to enter in to this kingdom of God? Where do you want to enter in? I submit to you, if you're going to walk around and claim that you're Christian, you need to get it all. We need to live godly. Now we need to get our mess together, church. We got to get our mess, me included. We got to get our mess together. We got to understand we're dealing with an evil enemy. We all love the people, but we're on the verge of compromising with demons. That's what we're doing. And I don't advise it. I just don't think we should. Well, since y'all love me so much, will you stand up, please? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day, oh God. And Lord Jesus, you know our deal. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray that it'll fall to the ground. These people overlook it. Your grace will cover it. If anything that I've said that's of you, I pray, oh God, that it'll be in our hearts, it'll be quickened in our hearts, that it'll explode. We'll know in whom we believeth. And Lord, I ask and pray right now for a supernatural baptism of your Spirit in this sanctuary today. And to those that are watching online, I pray for a supernatural baptism of your power and of your presence. And Lord God, may you have your way here this day. This is your day, and we're here to serve you, oh God. Heal the sick, oh God. Raise the dead. Deliver those. Just do it all, oh God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.